Oh, yeah, thanks, Sharon. Yeah, my name is Keith and I'm a recovered alcoholic. My sobriety date is the 22nd of May 2000. And from that day to this day, I've not felt it necessary to take a drink purely because I work the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I work with a lot of people and I sponsor a lot of people and I do a lot of service. We're up to steps 11 and 12. And over the past sort of 6 weeks, we've gone through the program, the 12-step program. And it just shows when we do these meetings how quick it really is to go through the program of action. It's not a long, drawn-out affair. So last week, we got to step 10, and I'm just going to concur the very bottom of what it said on page 85 about step 10. It said, much has already been received about strength, inspiration, and direction for immeasurable knowledge and power. If we have carefully followed directions, which is the program, we have begun to sense the flow of his spirit into us. To some extent, we have become God-conscious. We have begun to develop this vital sixth sense. And then it says, but we must go further. And that means more action. Because the step 10 is about a daytime step, a correction of my inventory, setting right my wrongs, setting right the new mistakes as I go along. And when I first got sober, believe me, it was a long period before this made sense to me or before it became part of my habitual self. And step 11 reads this. I'm going to read from what we got on the list on the walls. And it said, sought through prayer and meditation. What that means is we seek, and we seek the power we lacked. Because when we first was drinking, lack of power is our dilemma because we couldn't stay sober on our own power. So we had to find a power that what we could live by. So we go to step 11. It says, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God. As we understood him, praying not only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out, because all I want to do is run on self-will. So it was about me. I'm going to run the show and I'm going to blame the world when it goes wrong. When I get to step 11 is a result of step three, because on step three, I made a decision to find the power. When I get to step 11, I've been restored to sanity. It gives me a 24-hour plan. When I read out step 11, I'm going to read a couple of parts out of the paragraph and explain some of the stuff as we go along. But step 11 is quite short. It's quite simple. And what it says on page 86, it gives us instructions of what to do in the morning. When we improve our conscious contact, this becomes part of your daily routine, part of your working mind, right? It says, on awakening, when we get out of bed, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day, and it says, before we begin, right? Before you make your coffee, before you get up and have a shower, we're going to plan our day. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking. And what does that mean? It means we say that step three prayer on page 63, and then we go to page 76 and we do our step seven prayer. Because I need to invite God into my life. God is not that rude, or whatever power you believe in, he's not that rude to interrupt into your life without invitation. And many times we've been in trouble and been in jail and had consequences and problems. And all the time I've prayed to God to get me out of these situations. Please, God, I will never do that again. And I repeat that horrible cycle. I get drunk, there's consequences and problems. So now I'm improving my conscious contact. Before I begin, I use a bit of prayer or a bit of meditation to get God into my life. It says, God, to direct our thinking, especially if we're divorced from self-pity, dishonest and self-seeking motives, because that's what we were, or that's what I was like, dishonest, self-seeking, selfish, self-centered, always about me. When I get to this point in the program, I'm working with other people, it's not about me. So I'm asking God to direct my thinking. I'm going to plan my day for the day. It says, under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance. After all, God gave us brains to use. And what that means is it's not always about me. When I plan my day and I'm in a sober, sane mind, I know what I've got to do. I've got to go to work and I've got to have a shower and I've got to brush my teeth and I've got to brush my hair, plait my hair. So I need to plan my day before I begin, right? It then says our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking has cleared of wrong motives. And then wrong motives is about me being selfish and dishonest, right? It says, in thinking about our day, we may face indecision. We may not be able to determine what's course of action today to take. And then it gives me an instruction of what to do. It says, here we ask God for inspiration or intuition. An intuitive thought or decision. We relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. We're often surprised how the right answers come after we've tried this for a while. And I tell people, it's a bit like the proverb, look before you leap. We have a message in AA, it says, think. Before I do anything about it, I need to think what I'm going to do. I've planned my day. When indecision comes, I pause when agitated or doubtful, take a step back, and I think about what I'm going to do. Rather than jump in with both feet and make a decision and later on go, God, I wish I'd never done that. I need to pause and think about what I'm doing. And bear in mind at this point in our recovery, at step 11, it's not about what I want out of life. It's about what I can contribute. It's about what I can give back. It's about improving my conscious contact. And people ask me, what's God's will and what's Keith's will? Keith's will wants to control it and make it and force things to happen. God's will is it will be what it will be. Nothing happens by mistake in God's world. I don't need to force it, right? And then at night time, it gives us another set of instructions and questions to ask at night. So throughout the day, I'm using step 10. I'm putting in the corrective measures. I set right the new mistakes as I go along. I pause when agitated or doubtful. It gives me clear-cut instructions of what to do. And these are quite simple. But let me tell you, when I'm in the mind of self, we'll run riot. And I want to control to run the show. I don't think about these things, which is why at step 11, I need to practice these principles. I need to keep doing this repetition over and over. And then when I get home at night, it could be 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock. It gives me an idea of what to do. My nighttime inventory. We've all got the AA apps on our phones, the AA everything. There's all the recovery apps. It gives us an inventory list on step 11 at night. Step 11 is the third inventory step we get. Step four was for the grosser handicaps, which unblocks God, which we spoke about 3 or 4 weeks ago. The grosser stuff, the things in the past, the resentments, the fears, the harms, the sex conduct. We dealt with all the big stuff in the past. Step 10, I deal through the day with the resentments and the fears and the harms as they come up. I deal with them and I speak to God and I speak to another human being and I make amends where possible. Now, when I get to 11, I'm in the world of the spirit and I'm practicing this principle of 11. He says, when we retire at night, my day is over. My step 10 is done and dusted because my step 10 is about setting right the new mistakes as I go along, not the evening when I'm going to review my day. He tells me we constructively review our day. This is between you and God or you and your power. Whatever belief you've got or whatever faith you've got, this is what it's about. He says, were we resentful? So it's asking me about my day. If I was resentful for the day, step 10 would tell me what to do about it. If I'm resentful for the day, what do I need to do? Do I need to put it on paper? Do I need to make amends? Do I need to phone my sponsor? Do I need to pray to God? Do I need to let it go? Were we resentful? Was we selfish, dishonest, or afraid? There's four questions. What part of me was affected? This is what it's asking me at night with question marks. Does Keith owe an apology? Now, if I've not done my step 10 correctly and I've made amends as I go along, I'm going to carry this to the evening. Now, God's review is not going to beat me up if I don't make an amends. It's not going to beat me up if I don't pray to God. It's not going to beat me up if I make a mistake. He says, as we kept something to ourselves, it should be discussed with another person, our sponsor, and the underlying part in the book was, it says, at once. Doesn't mean next week. Doesn't mean next month. It means at once. Every mistake I make throughout my life at the moment, I put in the corrective measures to set right the wrongs. Because if I don't set right the wrongs and it gets in my head and it goes round and round, I'm going to replay it, resent it, revisit it, and I'm stuck in self, I'm stuck in my own head. And nobody in life today deserves that space in my head that I've freed out from going through the 12 steps of AA. It says, were we kind and loving toward all? Not every day. Some days people piss me off, and some days I piss people off. But it's all about the corrective measures. What am I going to do? What's God's will? What's Keith's will? Keith's will wants to go, F you. I'm not making no amends. I'm not doing that after a lot of you. God's will says, man up. Take responsibility. Clear the records as you go. Make it peaceful. Make right your wrongs. He said, what could we have done better with a question mark? Because it's easy in hindsight to look back at what I should have done. And then when I practice this, I don't. It talks about spiritual progress, not spiritual perfection. I don't get this right every single day, and I'm 23 years sober, and I still make a mistake. I still get things wrong. But my God, don't beat me up to pick a drink up. God doesn't beat me up to have restless, irritable, restless, discontented nights. He said, "Oh, were we thinking of ourselves all the time?" And that used to be about my selfish, self-centered ways. always about Keith, poor old me. And in the UK, we say, poor old me, poor old me, pour me another, because it will lead me back to a drink. Or what we're thinking of what we could do for others, or what we could pack into the stream of life. And it gives me a warning on step 11. It says, be careful not to drift into morbid reflection or worry. Do not beat yourself up. You're going to make mistakes because we're not perfect at what we do. We're going to make mistakes, but if you're willing to set them right, that's all God's going to ask you to do. All the power's going to ask you to do. Your nighttime inventory is a review between you and God. Throughout the day, your step 10 is what you do with other people, how you carry yourself, how you behave, how you present yourself. Everything you do in life from this point on is about your delivery, how you deliver yourself, how you deliver your questions and your answers and your responses. And I tell people about reaction and response. My first reaction is when someone says, that Keith's an arsehole, my first reaction is to F you, F you. When I think about this and I take a step back and I respond, I don't get involved. I jog them on, I don't get involved. I don't get involved with people that really piss me off because it puts me on a different level. It just brings me down, right? It tells me this, it now says, after making our review, when I reviewed my day with God, we asked for God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures should be taken. Sometimes I've pissed people off and I've not made an amends for a day, and I go home of an evening and I might have pissed off Sharon or Alia or Amy or somebody. What do I need to do about it? And what God's will is says to me, don't beat yourself up, Keith. Tomorrow's another day. And when tomorrow comes, I'm going to phone up Sharon. I'm going to apologize for what I did and make my amends and make my peace and give me that peace of mind. Because the whole point of the program was for me to get freedom from bondage of self. Me to get that peace of mind, that gut feeling. It spoke in step 10 about the sixth sense of direction. And I spoke last week. You can't see it, you can't touch it, you just feel it. That intuitive thought, you just know it's the right thing to do. And that's what God's will is. Step 11 is really simple. Step 11 is the whole result of the whole program. Because all I need to do is be in the world of the spirit. I say to my sponsees, they ask me certain questions about certain things in life, and I ask them before they make a reaction, before they make an assumption or a decision, I'm going to ask you this one question. And I'm going to ask you, where's God in that? Because when you start getting attuned to God's will, and you're going to know what God's thinking is, God's will is doing the right thing, not being dishonest, deceitful, your defects, resentful, selfish, self-centered. That's not God's will. He wasn't born like that. We practice those principles of being dishonest and unloyal and inconsiderate and dishonest and a cheat, a liar. We practice them as young people. And that's for me, it's a long time ago, believe me. And then we get to the 12 steps and we go through the program of action and we change back to what we should be. We change back to being a God will, God-driven person. I sit in many meetings and I listen to people and some people start swearing in meetings. There's not one time I can ever say that I've asked God for direction and he's told me to F off. He swore at me. We don't have to swear to get our point across. We're decent human beings. We're in the world of the spirit. We practice this stuff. We get to step 12. And I'm going to read out what step 12 says. It says, having had a spiritual awakening as the result, not a result, as the result of these steps. And what does that mean? The spiritual experience or the spiritual awakening or the personality change is a change in me. And I tell people at the very beginning when they come to me for work or for help, there's only three things you have to change. And that is everything, everything, and everything. And when you come to me with that adopted attitude and that openness and that willingness, you will change 100%. If you're willing to go to any lengths and you want what we've got and you're going to do what we do, in 6 weeks, you come to me, we're going to take you through the 12 steps. And when we get to step six or seven, boy, you're sponsoring. You're out there working with a newcomer. Step 12 is all about that spiritual awakening. It talks in the book about to watch a fellowship grow up around you. Young Lou's on the meeting tonight. Lou come to our meeting a month ago. She's changed dramatically over the month. Amazing. To watch people grow, to watch people change is the high spot of my life. Because when I first got sober, people could see the difference in me, but I couldn't see it in myself. And I'd always say to the newcomer, when I see the change, I see the difference. You look good, you sound good, you smell good, you change. And when that gives them that little bit of inspiration, I don't do it to make you feel better. I don't do it for any other reason, just to let you know it's working. And I can see that working. I need to carry this message to another alcoholic. And what is the message that I carry? What is the message of Alcoholics Anonymous? It's having had a spiritual awakening, having had a personality change as the result. When you put the effort in with the willingness and the desperation of drowning men, you will get the result. The book is full of promises. We don't put promises in the book for no reason. The whole book is full of promises because it's going to tell you, if you follow the path that we took, if you do what we do and apply these steps in the way they're laid out in black and white in the big book, you will get the result. It won't cost you nothing but willingness. You haven't got to pay for this. It's not therapy. It's about finding a power greater than yourself. It's going down a path that's going to find a power that's going to give you hope. And with the newcomer, we tell the newcomer, you need never take another drink. You need never to be alone ever again. Because when you get into the fellowship of the spirit or the spirit of the fellowship, you will know a new beginning, a feeling that we describe in the book as indescribably wonderful. Indescribably. I can't explain how I feel. Let me tell you a quick story before I go right into step 12. I got sober a long time ago. And I thought I was quite lucky to get sober. And what I'd done was I'd done the lottery. I kept doing the lottery in the UK. And I thought, you know what? I'm so lucky. I'm going to win. All I want to do is I want to win £1 million, have a big house and a load of topless women. True story. And what I got was a little old flat in the UK. And I got a job back on the building site. And what I realized was God gave me what I needed and not what I wanted. And what I realized over the time I got sober was, what he gave me is actually what I did want and not what I needed. The topless birds and £1 million wouldn't have cut it. I need to work for my recovery. I need to work with new people. I need to work with the newcomers. I need to be doing service for AA. I need to keep my foot in the door and keep in the middle of the AA bed. I need to row the oars with the rest of the people to keep sober, give back what we've been freely given. The book talks about carrying a message. I don't carry the mess. Many people come to AA. They don't go for the book. They don't go for the program. What they carry is how they see it, how they interpret it. They carry the mess, not the message. The message is clear cut. This is the result. This is the path we took. We will take you by the hand and lead you down that path and watch your fellowship grow up among you and countless others. It then spoke about practicing these principles in all my affairs. And let me tell you one thing. I might sound a real spiritual person on this meeting. Let me tell you. But there's some point in the day that I'm not quite that spiritual. I work on a construction site as a supervisor, and believe me, I have to be a bit fiery sometimes. I have to be a bit aggressive and a bit assertive sometimes. But at the end of the day, I make sure I clean up the mess.
Two
I make
minutes,
amends.
Please. Thank you.
That's quick. I make amends wherever possible. I make sure when I leave that construction site, all is good. All the lads are happy. I'm content. God's on my shoulder telling me, Keith, clear up your mess before you go. Start sweeping up and cleaning your house. You clean your house before you leave that site. I tell a lot of people, your recovery starts from the fireside out. I need to make right that there are reparations at home, that the wife's okay, the kids are okay. I need to keep all my side of the street clean. When I practice these principles in all of my affairs, in the meetings, with the sponsees, with the wife, with the kids, at work, in the car, whatever I'm doing, I get a peace of mind that's so good. If I'd had a choice of how I feel today and that £1 million, I'd have how I feel today. Because my recovery is priceless. I can't put a price on how I feel. I can't explain it. I just feel it. We spoke about the sixth sense of direction. And I just know at this point in my life, it's going to be all right. It will always be all right, provided I keep my foot in the door and I keep doing what I'm doing. For people to keep relapsing, let me tell you one thing. I'm going to tell you a quick story before I finish about step one. A friend of mine, some people know this, friend of mine came to me years ago. He was about 5 years sober. And he decided that he was going to have one more weekend on the drink and take some drugs. He was 5 years. He knew the consequences. He knew the problems that it brought. And this guy was called Tom. He's a young guy, young, fair-haired guy, good-looking guy. And he worked for me on a construction site. And he went out on the Friday and he got absolutely blasted and he used some drugs as well. I never saw him again. 3 days later, he was found dead in his flat. because he couldn't get what we've got. He wasn't willing to go to the lengths. He didn't want to get the promises and the results and the £1 million feeling that I get. And that's the sad fact of it.
That's time. Sorry, Keith.
That's my try. Thank you.